Hello. This is a podcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny, so, without further ado, welcome to Glugging Maidens, no, Gibbon Magic, no, Groggy Maths Teacher, no, Gossip Mongers, yes, Gossip Mongers, yes, yes, that's it, Gossip Mongers, welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Do people believe everything they hear?
Do people believe everything they hear?
Gossip number one.
This is from Jay. Hi, David and Joe. I have a piece of gossip for you about my friend. Let's call him Ricardo. Ricardo is a lovely, big, ginger, bald Scotsman and a really lovely bloke. He spent a few years of his life living in Cockermouth in Cumbria. One morning, as he was making his breakfast, he decided to have three eggs instead of his usual two. A wee extra eggy. He placed the third egg into the pan of water, then lit the stove. After about a minute, he heard a chirping noise. He checked the chimney to see if a bird had gotten stuck. Nothing there. Then, to his horror, he realized the chirping was coming from the pan. He sprung into action and quickly removed the third eggy from the pan. It was chirping incessantly now. Panicked, his first thought was to ring his best friend, who was vegetarian. He'd know what to do. His friend suggested he might be imagining it. He checked the egg again. It was definitely chirping. He checked the egg box. They were from the co-op. He rang the co-op and asked them where they got their eggs from. The person on the end of the phone laughed, then hung up. He called another friend who suggested he cool the egg down. So he put it in cold water, but the frantic chirping continued. He was beside himself by this point, decided the only thing he could do now was call the RSPCA. Finally, someone took him seriously. He waited for their arrival, wrapped in a blanket, sat on the other side of the room, just watching the egg bobbing in the cold water. To his horror, the chirping began to get slower. Finally, the doorbell rang. Two solemn-looking RSPCA workers entered. "Where's the egg, sir?" Richard, in his turmoil, could only point to the now silent egg on the counter. The RSPCA workers crossed the room, gently took the egg in their gloved hands and wrapped it in a tea towel. "We'll take it back to the surgery and take a look. We'll call you within the hour." The hour passed more slowly than any in his life. Eventually, the phone rang. "This is the West Cumbrian RSPCA surgery. We've had a look at the specimen and, well, it was just an egg." It was soft-boiled. Ricardo hung up the phone and collapsed onto the sofa and cried with relief. The end.
I'll be honest with you. What the fuck?
What the fuck? I'll be honest with you. What the fuck? What?
You can't end and go, "I'm not going to bother telling you where the chirping was coming from." Give me where the fucking chirping was coming from, you arsehole. It turns out a bird was trapped in the chimney, whatever. Yeah. Fucking then.
Yeah.
The worst. Unsatisfying.
It's the West Cumbrian RSPCA surgery.
It's simply an egg.
It was just an egg.
Okay, can I quick question? Where was the chirping coming from? I'll leave that up to you, sir.
Chirp, chirp, my egg is chirping. Don't know where this chirping is coming from. Chirp, chirp, my egg is chirping. don't know where this chirping is coming from. And that's the end of the gossip. Oh. Okay. Right you are. Gossip number two.
This is from Gary in London. Hello. I worked on the railway in London in the late 90s. There was an instructor who told us that when he was a kid, he used to share a bedroom with his brother. They had bunk beds. One day he got caught short and needed to take a dump. He decided the only option he had was to shit into his action man tank.
That was worth rereading, actually.
The only option, is it? And hide it under his bed. It remained there untouched for quite a long time. When it was rediscovered, it turned the khaki green action man tank light grey.
Sucked all the moisture out of it.
And it had mummified. In later life, he shit himself whilst driving a train and hung his dirty cacks up on a signal post. They remained there until they rotted away. I always chuckle thinking about the millions of commuters who travel past his shitty pants every day. There's also a rumour about a Circle Line tube driver who took a dump out the front of the train door after getting caught short. Apparently, the turd landed on the coupler and was transported around London for the rest of the day. Proudly displayed in view of everyone on the front of the train.
Is a couple of the things that join the carriages?
I guess so. It was on view. Anyone sat in the tube could see it the whole
so
day.
It's like it was probably between the carriages. So, like, if you pulled up at the wrong point, it would just be a steaming turd there.
Just a collection of stories about shit from a train driver. A collection of stories about shit from a train driver. Gossip number three.
This is from Paul in Wakefield. All right, gang. Okay, no fucking about. Let's crack straight into the beast. 13 years old, and my best friend Jason bangs on the door. He's red in the face and he's out of breath. He said he was looking for stash porn mags in his Uncle Brian's shed, and he found a hand in a jar.
The end. Good night.
Obviously, I assumed he was pissing about it, but he made me go straight there with him. We went through the gate into the back garden, opened the little window at the back of the shed and climbed in. Still expecting him to say, ha, fooled you, you knobhead. I was acting all cool about it. Fuck me, there was a hand in a jar surrounded by old tins of paint and Nescafe jars full of rusty nails. After staring at it for ages, I picked up the jar and opened the lid. It smelt like it was in vinegar. I first thought it might be from a dummy or something, but no, it was a real hand, a left hand to be precise. We put it back and then legged it. I told Jason to ask his uncle about it, but he wouldn't. His uncle Brian was a bit of a fucker. And Jason didn't want to risk one of his appendages ending up in a jar. We'd visit him from time to time. We never told anyone else and certainly didn't tell his uncle. Fast forward 20-ish years, I can't tell you exactly how many. Things were hazy for a while. His ecstasy can be a fucker when you're not paying attention. Jason's uncle Brian was terminally ill. Don't feel bad for him, he's a cunt. Anyway, I digress. Jason went to see him in the home he was in. They talked for a couple of hours until eventually Jason said that he'd found the hand in the shed. What was the story behind it? Whose was it? What had they done that was so bad that Brian had taken their hand? He looked a bit blank and then said, oh, the hand in the shed. No, I forgot about that. Sitting back ready to be regaled with a tale he'd waited more than two decades to hear, Jason was nearly bursting with anticipation. Brian cleared his throat as much as his failing lungs would allow and said, "It was in the shed when I moved in."
Wow. 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 That's phenomenal.
Oh, God.
That's phenomenal. That was perfect. Yeah. I think it was perfect. I genuinely think it was perfect.
So do I.
I wouldn't change a comma in that.
Hand in a jar in a shed. Hand in a jar in a shed. And apparently it had fuck all to do with Brian. Hand in a jar in a shed. Hand in a jar in a shed. And apparently it had fuck all to do with Brian. Gossip number 4.
This is from M. This rumour was one I heard in first school back in the late 80s in Yorkshire. As I was an actual child, probably about 6, I had no reason to doubt the validity of the tale. In the school was a family who were a bit rank. We all lived on an estate, but this family were really going for the urban decay chic with their lives. They were a smelly lot and had far too many children, even to our judgmental infant minds. Anyway, the rumour was that when the family dog died, they buried it in the garden, but Martin, the eldest child of the brood, missed it a lot and kept digging it back up to play with it. Fucking hellfire.
Oh, God.
Holy mackerel.
You cannot judge these gossips by their covers.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ, hell. Martin.
What image have you got?
An 8-year-old with a very bony sack of dog.
There's no other image to have, is there?
No.
8-year-old with a penguin. Yeah, mine's like a bony dog with just flaps of skin left on it.
Yeah, and it's a mongrel of, you know, it's a mix of dog. God. It's grey as well.
How's he playing with it? Just poking at it with a stick.
Swinging it round. It was widely accepted that this ragtag bunch were regularly exhuming the family pet for funsies. So would mum rebury it?
Oh, God.
And then they'd find
it. Come on,
it.
We best put it back in the grave. Come on, dinner time.
Leave Patch alone.
Digging up Patch to play another game. I miss my little Patch. It just isn't the same. Digging up Patch to be by his side. Throwing dog a ball. But the dog has died. I miss you, Patch. I miss you. I miss you, Patch. I miss you. Gossip number 5.
Hello, this is from Anonymous. Hello, everybody. This is a tale of the usual deviant weirdos barred from every pub in towns across the country. In the interest of anonymity, I will call the protagonist of my rumour Grant. I became aware of Grant when I started drinking in pubs, as he was completely obsessed with one of my friends. He must be at least 20 years older than me and my mate. He used to buy my friend drinks constantly and would always try to impress him. His lies to try and gain his interest varied from the boastful, "I beat Stephen Hendry at snooker," "I was the first ever male next model," "I was in the Guinness Book of Records for the fastest knockout for a professional boxer," to the entirely bizarre, "My dad invented the crew cut," "My dad cut Lawrence Arabia's hair." Grant has lived at a series of bedsit shitholes with an actual fold-up bed stuck to the wall, the kind you only normally see on TV shows set in redneck America. His prized possessions are a Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band cover art. You know, the one with all the celebrities on it. Well, he has stuck a photo of my friend's head onto it. Stuck it onto his wall. Not creepy at all.
Is it on just one of them?
Yeah, just one of them.
So it's like replace like George Harrison with him.
Yeah.
Or like Presley or something.
His other prized possession is a rare Beatles print from the 60s, a genuinely rare and sought-after item. However, Grant took this with him to a sportsman's lunch at a local pub. Where ex-Rangers goalkeeper Andy Gorham was speaking. Grant wore an ill-fitting pinstripe suit for the occasion, despite it being a shite-hole pub. No one knew what to expect when Grant saw Andy Gorham standing alone and creeped along next to him. "Hello, Andy. We've shagged the same woman," he said. What an opening line.
Sit down, Grant.
Gorham looked a bit puzzled, but given he had drank at least two bottles of red wine in the last hour or so, he didn't really care to respond, but instead appeared to be very uncomfortable. However, before Gorham could make his escape, Grant had rustled his Beatles print out of his ill-fitting pinstriped jacket and thrust it into his hands. Again, Gorham was puzzled. Very puzzled.
As are we.
What was the relevance of this? He was clearly bamboozled by the Beatles memorabilia in his hands. "Will you sign this for me, please, Andy?" Grant asked. Gorham obliged him before marching off.
And he got Andy Gorham to... sign his Beatles album.
And in one fell swoop, Grant's only item of worth in his miserable life was written off and rendered completely worthless. Oh, God. Over the years, Grant has allowed my friend to shower at his bedsit. Because my friend only has a bath and has also washed his dirty laundry for him every week for years.
Auntie Grant.
No reasoning behind that. My friend stays with his mum, who has a washing machine, definitely doesn't sniff his dirty pants. My mate plays guitar and does gigs. And Grant used to like to sit near the front, gazing longingly at him, hushing other patrons and telling them that he was his best mate, his manager, and sometimes his dad. I fail to mention that Grant is an alcoholic window cleaner. He only cleans windows in one street, nowhere near where he lives.
He has to commute.
It will come as no surprise to you by now that this is the street where my mate lives. A very lazy window cleaner could clean the entire street's windows in half a day. Grant is there 7 days a week, creeping about people's gardens. Jesus Christ. Mostly my friend's mum's. He has stashed Strongbow in people's gardens and huts and indulges heavily between each window before prowling around.
I'm getting a headache.
Oh, same. Oh, I've just remembered that once in a pub, Leonard Cohen's Suzanne was playing on the jukebox, to which Grant announced, "Hear this song, I've shagged her, I shag Suzanne." Anyway, back to the rumour.
I digress. How long is this fucking thing?
So there are two rumours from the street where he washes what? Windows.
Fucking hell.
One chap was new to the street, and after Grant approached him begging to wash his windows, he agreed to a trial. He was having construction work done on the house and returned home to see Grant at an upstairs window inside his house. The builder had let him in thinking this had been agreed. The chap stormed up the stairs into his baby's nursery to find Grant creeping around. Grant then claimed that there was a big bird shit on the window, which he could only tackle from inside the house. He was swiftly removed and barred from the premises. Another neighbour came home from work early one day and was in his kitchen when he saw movement in his back garden. He looked up to see Grant squatting in his flower bed taking a Strombo-based shit. He watched flabbergasted as Grant buried it with his hands like a cat before scurrying off in search of more Strombo. The end. Oh, my word.
I feel like you may make the final, Grant.
Let's hear it for Grant. Grant is the man. Let's hear it for Grant. Grant. Let's hear it for Grant. Grant is the man. Grant. Grant is the man. Good old Grant. He the man. If you would like to support the podcast and get a chance to listen to the episodes early, watch videos, that kind of thing, come over to patreon.com/gossipmongers. Thank you. That's patreon.com/gossipmongers. Thank you. Gossip number 6.
So, this tale is in two halves. The first half is absolutely 100% true, as I was directly involved. The second part is where it gets juicier, but I only heard rumours of it. Anyway, I grew up in a tiny village in the Ferns, where almost everyone knew everyone else. Over the years, newer properties got built and more people moved up from that there London, and the village started to grow. During this growth, and me as a bit of an entrepreneur, I had a paper round. I'd approach these houses to get more customers so I'd earn more money. I was 17 and was paying for my own driving lessons. Good for you. One of my new customers, we'll call her Lisa, as that's her name, was an absolute knockout. Late 20s, maybe early 30s, seemingly lived alone with a young kid who was about 8 or 9. Well, over the weeks, months, I thought my luck was finally in, as she always, in my head, flirted with me.
She asked me over one Friday night. I rocked up at 7:30 as she asked me, and I won't lie, I was nervous as fuck. She wouldn't have even been my third lover, and this time it was going to be with a proper woman. Sadly, I was cut short before my time even arrived. She wanted me to babysit. Fuck me. But I let the disappointment wash over me and babysit her annoying little bastard of a son. She said she'd give me extra money as well, so I couldn't knock it. Anyway, me and her son sat there watching telly, and I said to him, it's about time he was off to bed, as it was getting late, and I wanted to watch telly and drink some of the beer she'd kindly left me. And the little brat said to me, if I show you some pictures, will you let me stay up? I laughed at first at this little game and joked, yeah, righto, expecting him to show me some boring holiday pictures or something. Oh, how wrong I was. The little scamp ran up to his mum's bedroom and clambered up onto a chest of drawers and reached up into the top wardrobe, retrieving a shoebox. He jumped down and spilled the contents of the box over the bed. There was about 35 to 40 Polaroid pictures of Mummy.
What?
All naked and in some very interesting poses. Flustered and shocked, I got cross and told him he should never show people things like that. And I told him to go straight to bed and I'd put them away.
And that, I would put them away.
Yeah, yeah. You go to bed and I'll deal with the mess.
Oh, my God.
He was very upset and he did as he was told. Well, curiosity got the better and I had a very close inspection.
Fucking hell.
Of course you would. There were all sorts in there. Fully naked, intimate close-ups of bush, tits, cock in mouth, two cocks in shot. A full-on porn shot, effectively. What a naughty girl she was.
Oh, my God. God. The boy. The little boy.
The 17-year-old boy.
No, the little boy.
Oh, the little boy, the 17-year-old. I wouldn't worry about him. The men weren't recognisable as there was no face shot.
That little boy has seen two cocks in his mum's not arse. I don't know what I said, arse. I'm running away with myself here.
No, there's none of that, David. I don't know where you got that from.
No.
Well, it wasn't that bad. Thankfully, I scooped them all back up eventually and waited patiently for her to come home.
What would you do? Put them in the...
Put them back in a shoebox.
Yeah, but you don't know where they came from.
God, it didn't happen to you. Calm down.
No, but it's a dilemma, isn't it? I'm throwing it out to the audience interactively.
Okay, if you have an answer,
what would you do?
Phone us on 0117 445 552. If you found, welcome to the breakfast show. If you found a box of pornographic pictures you were babysitting. Right, anyway. I scooped them all back up eventually and waited patiently for her to come home. When she came in, she was giggling and I was still convinced she was flirting with me, but no extras were coming my way. I went home with the extra money and had the best wank of my life. God. Could you have left that bit out for me?
No need. Tell us about all your other wanks while you're at it.
Yeah, exactly. Run graphic details past me, please. Don't like none about your wank.
Fucking hell.
The best wank of my life. Anyway, I looked after him a few more times and I had a look at the photos a few more times. as any horny 17-year-old would.
Shit.
I never told anyone. She moved away after that, suddenly. And these are the rumours that I heard. The little boy took the photos around the village to his mate's house and showed lots of people.
Oh, my God.
Told you he was a little fucker.
Fuck, I've got to do something with our shoebox.
It's a barrel.
Yeah, I'll soon back. Oh, yeah, a barrel. Polaroid barrel.
We've got a van. Anyway, one day the mum of one of his mates saw them and recognised one of the cocks in the photo.
Bloody hell.
Her husband's.
No.
It had a recognisable mark on it, apparently. And she noticed it was in the picture with Lisa's mouth covering the end of it. Oh, God. All hell broke loose, allegedly. And she was hurried out of the village as her husband, apparently the other guy in the photo, was to be released from prison. Or left the army, depending on which story to be believed. Apologies for the length of the gossip. Like I said, first part was 100% true. Why she left is anyone else's guess, but I hope it was for the massive sex scandal she caused. Never did get to shag her myself, though. I'll remain anonymous, just in case.
Oh, fantastic.
Dear. Oh, dear.
Fantastic. That's what we're about, ladies and gentlemen. That is gossip. That is gossip.
That is where...
Right there.
That is us in a nutshell. Yeah. That's what we want. That's what we want, guys.
Yeah, that's what we're about. That's why we're here for you.
Oh, yes. Sexy Polaroids. Yes, baby. Sexy Polaroids. Little boy knows where his mum's sexy Polaroids are. Naughty little boy. Naughty mummy. Naughty mummy. Gossip number 7.
This is from Piff Man. All right, gossip mongers, I've got a few stories about a guy from my hometown in Lancashire that I had multiple encounters with. I'm sure you're not going to believe half of this, but I can promise everything in this one is resoundingly true. I lived on a long road growing up, and there was this guy, Bill. He used to walk around in women's clothes, swinging an umbrella around. He was harmless. No one bothered with him. One day, I was sat on my front step, hanging out of my arse and having a cigarette. When I saw him looking over my fence, he asked me if he could have one, and I went in to get him one. When I came back to open my front door, he was stood with his face pressed right up to the glass. It was a bit unnerving, but I chatted with him over a smoke. He said a few weird things about my rabbit looking clean. Brackets. It was a guinea pig. Anyway, he left, and I thought that was the end of it. Your rabbit's looking clean, mate.
What the hell did you say to that?
A few hours later, I went for another cigarette, and there was a satchel on my doorstep. I took it inside and looked in, and inside were a calculator, a book titled Trade Wind. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Two pens, an attachable hood without the coat, two porcelain ducks. Along with these fucking mad items was a note saying, I hope you have got the items I left for you. The next morning I woke up and he had posted a cigarette through my letterbox with the words, Memni Thanks, written on it in biro.
He wrote on the actual bag.
Yeah. Another time I passed him in the street and he beckoned me over to tell me that he was in a bad way because he had just found out he was born with dwarfism. But he was cured when the council sent Heinrich Himmler to his house to use electrotherapy on him. Fucking hell. There are too many encounters to mention here, but I'll finish with the last one, last time I saw him. He had been pestering me for ages about writing his autobiography. And as the guy kept crying to me and was very lonely, I said, I'll go round for half an hour to take some notes. Anyway, what followed was Bill talking about coming out as a gay man and his musical career being about taking off. being about to take off. He went to make me a brew and was in there for 20 minutes making little sounds. What came back was a mug of black tea that had something the consistency of jizz in it. I faked a call from my mum to get the hell out of there, and shortly after we moved. So I didn't have to deal with him again. Thanks, guys. Also, his name has been changed to protect his identity. I might be able to find the bag of items to send you a picture.
Yes, please.
Calculator, a book entitled Trade Wind, two pens, a detachable hood without the coat, and two porcelain ducks. Memny thanks. Memny thanks.
Joe Wilkinson and David Earl will now choose their favourite rumour.
All right, so the top five gossips for this episode are as follows. Number one, sexy Polaroids.
Oh, yeah, tough to beat that.
Number two, soft-boiled chirping egg.
Oh, that annoyed me, that one, didn't it?
Number three, hand in a jar. Number four, Bill the weird man with weird gifts.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah.
Number five, Grant.
Grant.
So, you know what you want to go for?
No, because I don't know. I'm trying to work out what you're going to go for, so I do the same so we don't have to faff and work out what one to...
Well, no. Okay, right. After three. One, two, three.
Dirty hand Polaroids. In a jar. To hand in a jar.
Oh.
Dirty Polaroids. Okay, we don't know what we do now, do we?
Dirty Polaroids.
Hand in a jar was exceptional, but something about...
Dirty Polaroids.
Yeah, did something to me, that.
Okay. Because it's really lackluster. Okay, I'll go for Dirty Polaroids. If you're happy with Dirty Polaroids.
No, I'll go with Hand in the Jar. No. Let's flip a coin.
Okay.
Okay.
I've got one.
It's actually a lid of a mixed fruit travel sweets tin.
Okay, I'll have the bottom.
So facing bottom up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
What?
Yeah,
weighted.
You won.
Okay,
yeah. No, it's not weighted. Oh, you right. Won.
Okay. Hand in the Jar goes through to the knockout stage. So I'm just rolling up Hand in the Jar, popping it in the tube. There she goes.
Oh, there she goes.
Wow, wonderful. Have you had, she comes.
Have you added some bits?
No. It's coming out of the other end. Right. Okay, that's the end of the episode. Thank you for listening. Bye, everybody.
Oh, yeah, bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember, if you know of any unsubstantiated rumors, send it into gossipmongers@yahoo.com. Until the next time, keep your little ears open for all that juicy goss. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye. Love you lots and lots. Bye for now.
Sorry to interrupt the pod, hope you're enjoying it, but just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do, and you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes, bits and bobs, we post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now, enjoy the rest of the pod. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it.